Ocean FM.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television licence fee. Check out ours2protect.ie for more information.
Now, this morning we are launching our new series called Ours to Protect, a very, very important programming initiative to raise awareness of climate change and to educate us all in how to make a difference and how we can make a difference. And it will consist of a weekly slot on this show every Thursday, where we'll be joined by various guests to create awareness around climate change and to enable and encourage active engagement in climate action locally. And that's what we want to do. We want to hear from local groups and individuals in relation to what they are doing or plan to do. So as I say, every Thursday morning we'll be discussing various topics of relevance. So to officially launch the initiative this morning, we've invited two guests into studio to talk about various aspects of climate change and what we should be doing. Dr. Yvonne Lang of ATU Sligo, School of Science in ATU Sligo, who's also central in the workings of the Sligo Environmental Network. Dr. Aga, who's going to talk about changes to our soil and changes to our weather, which is very relevant at the moment. And Pete Murtagh, whom you all know well from previous slots we've conducted here in this programme. Pete is the Energy Efficiency and Climate Action Officer with Sligo County Council. Good morning to you all, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Niall.
Morning.
Good
morning.
And Aga, yes. I cannot begin to pronounce your surname, isn't that right?
Yeah, my full name is Agnieszka Piwowarczyk, and Aga for short.
Good job I didn't have a go at that. Okay, tell us about your interest in climate change.
So, I am an environmental scientist and soil expert, soil is my passion and expertise. And as much as the ocean is number one in relation to carbon sink, soil is at the second. And I think we need to look into this aspect when discussing climate change and water cycling as well. So both carbon and water cycling.
What aspect of the soil should we look at? What are the concerns you have?
Soil is a dynamic system and it has three properties. It's chemistry, biology and physics. We need to really look into the three aspects of the soil. Soils need to breathe. Soils are more like human beings, say. Yeah. They need to breathe. They respire CO2 and they have microbiome. And recently there's been interest and knowledge into how human microbiome is affecting our health, right?
Yeah.
Same about soils. They have microbiome, and that microbiome is responsible for soil health. And when we think about carbon, for example, we need to look into the famous fungi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, for example, when we think about bacteria. Bacteria has very narrow carbon to nitrogen ratio, which is only 5:1. And we cannot really store carbon in soils full of bacteria. Even though there is billions of bacteria living in soil, we need to be more into practices that store and help to grow fungus. Because fungus, comparing to bacteria, can have in the cell walls
Is there a general awareness of this?
No, there's not. Okay. That's the problem. Because the common agriculture practices mainly looking into chemistry of soils.
Yeah.
What is commonly called soil quality, not soil health. So how much nitrogen, phosphorus and potassium is in there to feed the plants. But they don't talk about the biology there, that we need to feed the biology, not the plants.
Yeah,
because the biology then feeds the plants.
Yvonne, you're welcome, and we've talked to you before about how communities can become involved, and you were appealing a couple of weeks ago on this show in relation to community involvement, and that's gone successfully, hasn't it? And you were saying there's been a good uptake. There is a general sense that people want to do whatever they can.
There definitely is. People want to help and address the issues, and they are concerned.
And so I've had some absolutely wonderful conversations with community groups over the last number of months since we did our launch, and I'm learning so much as I go. And even listening to Aga, what you learned today, I think that can be one of the incentives that we can get people involved in the climate change. When you actually think about what is in the soil and you want to learn that little bit more, that can help people then to want to make the change also. So with our groups, over the course of the next 12 months, we have identified different targets that those groups can do. And we hope to then start sharing those best practices and the experiences of those groups with other groups across the county, so that then hopefully that will help bring others along in this change as well. Because it's about presenting an accessible way to do things, and a way to do things when you've got limited time and limited resources.
Yeah.
And that you demonstrate that by doing it, you have a meaningful impact. And
it can be meaningful, no matter how small. I think there's a sense that people feel what they're doing has no effect whatsoever, because what they're doing is sort of too small to make an impact. It's not relevant.
I think that it's identifying that individual change that you make. What is its indirect consequences? Like, for example, when you decide, let's take it back to something very simple. Like, let's take it back to that you decided you're no longer going to have disposable cups.
Yeah.
You've made that single change. So that single change that you have done, how many cups have you avoided going to landfill as a result of that? And so if you think about the one action that I have done, what is the indirect consequences of that? But we need a mechanism to measure that so people can really see the impact of it. Like, for example, you've decided to maybe reduce the amount of time you've been on phones. So that by doing that, how have I reduced my carbon footprint in that? I made a change with my food waste. How has that made a change? So it's giving metrics, and I know metrics is a term I don't particularly like to use myself, but just giving, this is my change, this is my contribution.
Yeah.
So if I've changed in five different aspects of my daily life, what have I done in total? And I don't know whether that is out there at the moment to help people, so we're going to be investigating that over the course of the next 12 months. How do you really demonstrate the positive change that you've made through these choices?
Right, Pete, you're welcome, and thank you for joining us. Again, we come at this from the situation where it's not an argument anymore or a debate at climate change or climate. The climate science is absolutely clear, would you think?
That's right, Niall. I mean, the time for arguing over whether or not it's real seems to have passed us, and most people would accept now that there are changes occurring that we need to be aware of and that we need to prepare for the future. And I'm very happy, actually, that you've asked me on this morning, because it just coincides with a piece of work all local authorities are involved in now at the minute called the Local Authority Climate Action Plan. So in the coming weeks and over the course of this series of programmes you'll be doing, we'll actually be carrying out a public engagement as well, where we want to hear from people, we want to hear from individuals, from businesses, from communities. We want to know what their concerns are and what actions they think should be taken, what actions are being taken, and we'll be developing that plan. It has to be adopted by early next year. So, there is so much going on, and both Aga and Yvonne there have spoken about different aspects of what climate action entails. And a big part of that, obviously, is the community. So, like I was saying, we want to engage people. We want to hear what they have to say. But it's such an enormous topic. It's such an enormous issue that, all those little changes that Yvonne talks about, every little change makes a difference. So anything we can do to facilitate that or to help people to understand how they can move in the right direction, then we're hopeful that we can help them do that.
Well, even your position within the local authority wouldn't have been a position not that long ago, but it is seen now as absolutely crucial, is it not, in an organisation such as a local authority?
Absolutely. When I spoke to you previously, Niall, it would have been as the environmental awareness officer, and each local authority has an environmental awareness officer, and they would have been dealing with things like waste management and biodiversity over the years. But now each local authority has dedicated climate staff who are looking at things like energy, like mitigation, like climate adaptation. We're working closely with other people in ATU as well on a project in relation to coastal erosion. Some of your listeners might have heard of the SCORE project, and that's looking at things like sand dune protection. And actually in the last couple of days, I'm sure some people have heard as well about an incident down in County Kerry, where a large area of sand dunes in the Maharees area caught fire, and they're not sure what caused it to happen, but there was quite extensive damage caused by the fire to the sand dune system. And this is an area where the Maharees Conservation Group, who've been set up for the past number of years, who've done Trojan work down there in relation to sand dune preservation. You know, it's a big blow for those people down there, but it's an example of what can happen. And I'd appeal to people actually during this spell of warm weather to make sure that they're very careful when it comes to, you know, if they're out on the beach and they're in the sand dunes or whatever, to make sure that, you know, even a discarded cigarette, a piece of broken glass can lead to a fire that can have, you know, devastating consequences for an ecosystem like sand dunes.
Okay. All right. Well, staying with the weather, Dr. Aga, you have a particular interest, I think, in our changing weather patterns as well. I know our temperatures have risen, by 0.8 degrees Celsius since 1900 or so in Ireland. Should we be concerned of what is happening weather-wise?
I am not a climate change expert, so soil is my topic. However, as far as I understand, the weather patterns and cycling is that there's a fluctuation in weather, like in the temperatures there worldwide. However, there is a significant increase of the temperatures there worldwide. So that's something that definitely we need to look into and act upon.
Yeah, the soil erosion aspect that you mentioned there, why and how does that happen?
So soil erosion, there's different types of erosion that can happen to soil, whether it is driven by climate change or land management, we may have weathering process, so also the impact of sun on the soil, on bare soil specifically.
Yeah.
And then we have impact of rainfall even. So there's different ways that soils can be eroded. And in fact, we're losing about 12 million tons of topsoil each year lost worldwide to the oceans. We're losing productive soils due to erosion.
Yeah.
And the reason for losing soils mainly is land and soil management. So like tilling, plowing, lack of organic matter, use of pesticides, artificial fertilizers.
So we need to change our practices as a matter of urgency.
Definitely.
Are, of course, and some have embraced that, but it hasn't been as widespread maybe as it should be.
Yes, there is a group of farmers, as far as I know, in Ireland, who are into more biological methods. Yeah. And I think as much as organic systems are increasing, I think we need to even go slightly higher and look into regenerative practices. So the practices that not only keep up the status of this condition of the soil that is, or we have, is actually to improve it even, to make it better, to make it more alive.
It was World Oceans Day yesterday, mm-hmm. which is a UN initiative since, 2009, Yvonne? I know you have a particular interest in this.
Yes.
It's important, days like this and raising awareness on days.
I think it is
because World Oceans Day yesterday.
We may not understand the true value of the ocean in regards to the quality of the air that we breathe and many of the other things that the ocean is going to do for our health also. I think we live in such a wonderful place within Sligo with the ocean just on our doorstep. Yeah. And we have Ocean FM, for example. But just to put it into context, when we think about the importance of the oceans to the air that we breathe, the algae and seaweeds are so important within the carbon cycling and producing oxygen. One particular species are the diatoms, ones that I've done some work on in past. But I say that for every 5 breaths that you take, 1 breath is due to the work that diatoms do within our oceans. So if we start looking at how our oceans are changing, the temperature changes, how we're the heat, the changes that are happening and increasing the temperature of it, that's altering the life balance of those oceans. That then ultimately is going to alter the impact that they have on our health through changes to the air quality that we have. So that's just one aspect of it. So within the World Oceans Day yesterday, the topic that they were striving forward with, the theme of it was the 30-30. that looking back at what the UN and the High Seas Treaty that was agreed in March, that we have the need now to have 30% of our seas and our oceans protected by 2030. And I know within this month now that there's going to be meetings at high level, intergovernmental meetings to discuss how do we do this? How do we create our protected areas?
Yeah.
So we enjoy the oceans, we enjoy this space during times of weather spells like this, but we need to protect that. So we need to look at the actions that we do to ensure that we protect those into the future.
And sea levels are rising as well. So
sea levels rising also, it becomes an issue, and then that's going to link back. So having Aggie here to talk about the soil science of it is vitally important so that we can see how nothing works independently. It's all linked.
That's true.
And so all actions, you can't just say, oh, the direct impact on the ocean, the direct impact on the soil. We have to look at all of how they interact with each other and are interlinked, and how one change, how does it affect all of the different systems?
In fact, most land practices taking place, so anything we do on land, sooner or later is going to impact or affect the ocean.
Pete, it's interesting when you talk about the Climate Action Plan. I mean, already I think you would get a sense that there is buy-in, as Dr. Aga and Yvonne have been saying, there is buy-in in general from the public.
There is huge buy-in, and I mean, just taking up on a couple of things that were mentioned there, like air quality, like if you consider the impact that the wildfires in Canada are having on the air quality in New York, and that the fact that the boom is
scary to see the pictures and read about it at the moment,
and people are sitting up and are taking notice and are willing to take action in relation to it, and hopefully in the Climate Action Plan we've put a bit of shape on that. But when it comes to kind of, I suppose, supporting local communities to do something tangible that they can feel that they're making a difference, I know Sligo County Council, along with other local authorities as well, is supporting the sustainable energy communities around the country. So I was recently at a launch out there in Riverstown of the South Sligo Energy Partnership Energy Master Plan. And that is where, you know, they've examined their energy use, identified opportunities that they have for, improving the insulation or the retrofitting their homes to make them more energy efficient, looking at renewable energy options. So, and the local authority can support local communities in that. So that's one example of how people can be supported to take positive climate action. Another one is the Green Clubs Initiative, which is something that the GAA developed last year, but which is now available to all sports clubs. So whether you're a GAA club or a soccer club or a cricket club, or it doesn't matter, you can. There's a toolkit available to those clubs where they can examine things like travel within the club, energy, waste management, biodiversity, water conservation. So there's lots of assistance and lots of effort going in to try and help communities, help organisations like sports clubs to do the right thing, to examine their current practices, to make sure that they're not wasting anything, that they're improving energy efficiency, that they're taking advantage of any renewable energy options that might be available to them. So yes, there's an absolutely enormous body of work going on, and we're hopeful to put a bit of shape on that in terms of the local authority climate action plan. So we're really looking forward to hearing what people have to say and what their perspective is. We want to hear, we'd like to see innovation when it comes to climate action as well, not just the same things. We want to see something new, because, it's people out there who'll have those new ideas and give it a bit of impetus as well. So, like, we've had the example of the Cranmore Regeneration over the past number of years as well, which has done some Trojan work with regard to the local authority housing in there, making it really comfortable, really energy efficient, and that's built... the community has built itself around that as well. And there are some members of the Sligo Environmental Network are heavily involved in the community garden down there, which, helps bring people together to discuss these things and to look for options that they can get involved in that will help us to deal with our changing climate.
A final question for Dr. Aga and for you, Yvonne. Considering the huge challenges we face globally, are you optimistic about the future, that we can rise to such challenges and meet them?
Yes.
And change for the better? You are?
Yes. Yes, especially I think it's from the ground up rather than coming from governments. I think people are seeing the environment around them has changed. Mm-hmm. Lack of insects flying around, and also the food quality and water quality and so on. And And then so people slowly started to realize we need to act, we need to do something, we need to change. And they're looking for ways to improve, to change, to have a better impact on the environment and human health and environmental health. So, but yeah, I think we need to come together and act now.
Yeah. And you're nodding your head very vigorously, dear Yvonne.
I am very, very positive.
You remain positive too.
Absolutely remain positive. I mean, and I think what we do, we need to highlight the positive stories. And I think within this week alone, the stories of the Pine Martens that we heard, the stories in regards to the White Eagle, that when action is taken, we do see the impact of that. We do see the change. And myself and Aga are even discussing, I mean, we've just come out of the No More May. And even through No More May, the increase in wildflowers that were visible and the differences that we saw in different insects being visible, that these actions are showing that we are making change. And I think that people need to embrace those, and you get a sense of, I can contribute to my environment, I can make a change, and I can see it visibly there. And for me, even after No More May, I loved looking at the wild gardens. I thought it was amazing to see all of this just vibrancy, this colour. And then when they were all mowed down into neat lawns, I kind of felt like the life had been taken out of them almost.
Yeah.
So maybe the way in which we view nature and we view beauty has to change somewhat, so that we can embrace the wildness, that wildness that really exists. And I says, for me, that's why the oceans, I love the oceans, not only for what we see, but I think we have to talk about the importance they have for our health and our mental health. An ocean on a calm day is beautiful, but an ocean on a wild day is as beautiful when you see that the madness of the waves crashing. So I just think connecting with nature again and finding that will help us to make the changes. And I will forever remain positive, because I am fortunate in that I speak with community groups who are positive and want to make change. And if it's happening and the desire is there, it will come. Yeah.
Do you have a garden? Do you mow your grass? Or
we didn't mow it for May, and it's fantastic.
Okay.
And
so the work is building up now. It is.
My garden looks like a jungle at the moment. So yes.
Yeah.
So
but as Yvonne says, maybe that's the way it should become. Maybe that's.
Yeah, I think with the misconception about so-called weeds, many wildflowers or many weeds are actually of medicinal purposes. So not necessarily every single plant is a weed.
Yeah.
Sometimes things that we call weeds, they might actually not be weeds for other organisms. We are very selfish when we talk about like weeds, for example.
Yeah. Well, weeds formed an important part of the Chelsea Flower Show this year, believe it or not.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's a change all around. Many thanks to all three of you for joining us this morning. And good luck with your continued work, Dr. Aga and Dr. Yvonne Lang of ATU Sligo. And thanks to you, Pete Murtagh, Sligo County Council as well, for joining us for this new programming initiative here on Ocean FM, Ours to Protect, which we'll cover every week, every Thursday from now for the next, nearly a year or so.
Ocean FM. Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.